Anyway, our first-time guest, Rosa Corey, is with us. Her book, Behind the Green Mask and Democrats Against UNAgenda21.com, is her website. We'll do a little quick break so we can have a long chat with her to the bottom of the hour here on Coast to Coast AM. Please stand by. Rosa Corey, Executive Director of the Post Sustainability Institute. We touched on surveillance a while ago and talking about they don't want you in the country. Forget about all that. Out in the country, it'll be great. No, it won't be great. Do you know that I've talked to several people over the last just 2 weeks, I'm not making this up, who have had visitations from drones who live out in the country? I don't know all that many people that live out in the country, but the ones that are way out there. And they get drone visitations. It's already started, you know, the creepy police state stop citizen, you know, doing the weird drills at the airport. The TSA tells everybody to stop, and they do. What if you're out cutting your grass or something with a, you know, a green lawnmower of some kind, which is probably on your hands and knees with those mechanical scissors, you know, you have to cut your lawn that way now. And some drone shows up with a speaker on it that says, freeze, citizens, and everybody does. I mean, this is a nightmare scenario out of some weird science fiction movie we might have seen when we were kids and got weirded out over it, you know? But it really is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go to sleep or what?
No, I'm right here.
No, I put people to sleep. I do. And they just go, God, my brain's blown up. Shut up.
It's hard to sleep through this kind of stuff. You know, no, I'm not sleeping. This, you know, what we're looking at here, you know, this really is exactly what it looks like, okay? But people think that it can't happen here. And that is part of why it's possible. And I spoke at an international conference on global governance, and a couple of the other speakers, one was Ambassador Bolton, who was formerly the ambassador to the UN, and President Václav Klaus of the Czech Republic. And Ambassador Bolton said, what we're looking at here is regionalization and the creation of mega regions, okay? So this is what we're looking at, and what it looks like is the European Union, and then ultimately it will be global. So what Ambassador Bolton said, one of the things he said, was that right now in the European Union, 75% of Parliament's decisions, and this is in England, 75% of Parliament's decisions are rubber stamps, basically, for the EU. And what Václav Klaus, President Klaus of the Czech Republic, said was that the Czech Republic, the Czech people, had fought to free themselves from the Soviet Union. And all they wanted to do was become part of the great European Union. They wanted to be part of that, which started as a trade agreement, by the way. And so he said, but now here I am. I'm the president of the Czech Republic, and I am basically enslaved by the decisions in Brussels. So what we're looking at is the erasure of jurisdictional boundaries. We're looking at the creation of a state where, yes, we might actually still vote for a while, but it won't matter because of the people who we are voting for will have no power. And this is actually happening right now through regional councils. And people need to know about this, okay? Because, of course, we go to our city council meetings and our county supervisor meetings, and some of us go to our state legislatures, and we're not aware that there are 500 regional councils in the United States. And the goal is, they exist right now, they're councils of government and metropolitan planning organizations, and they get money that they distribute locally. And the money comes federal and state transportation dollars go through these groups, okay? And those grants are and tax dollars go direct from those regional boards right into your local community, but it has to go along to get along. So basically, smart growth is the preferred design model for United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development, and that's that high-density urban development that you see. It's mixed use. It's apartments or condos on top of shops, right? And you see it, it's getting built, right? You see it getting built around, and you're like, gee, I wonder how come it's getting built, and there's nobody moving into the ground floor, nobody's in that retail, and it's just sitting there, and, you know, I wonder where they got the, oh, they're bankrupt, oh, they're out. Okay, well, this is what's happening with that. The money for that now is coming through, it's going to be coming through the federal government and through Sustainable Community Strategies and Initiatives grants. Now, right now, that money, $100 million from HUD, Housing and Urban Development, in 2010, and $96 million in 2011, went to communities all over the United States for planning. This was not to build anything. This is to develop and strengthen regional governance. And this is not, what we're talking about is the erection, you know, this is an unelected shadow government.
Wow.
It's being sold to you as an economic driver. Now, check this out. I really hope people do go and take a look at the website, DemocratsAgainstUNAgenda21.com, because we've got great source information for you there. Terrific stuff. Now, one of the things that you're going to find on there is mega regions. Now, this is, sounds like it's just too crazy to be true, but it isn't. Unfortunately, it is true. We know we've got 50 states, right? But not anymore, because now the United States, and I'm not talking about the FEMA divisions, but I'm talking about something else. The U.S. has been divided into 11 mega regions. Now, this does not include the entire landmass of the U.S. These are mega cities, and there are 11 of them. 11 areas in the United States, and we have the maps on our website. Now, this isn't something that I'm making up or that I'm fantasizing about. This is the real deal. The federal government is connected with this totally, and I have source documents from the federal government on our website. And what it is you've got 11 mega regions, which is basically collecting together these large cities that are going to get a lot larger, because all of the population increase to 2050 is going to go into these areas. Now, other areas in the United States that are not in these mega region mass city locations are going to be cleared out of people. And I know this sounds, it is crazy. I'm not crazy. This is real, okay?
26%
of, yes, 26% of the landmass will hold 74% of the population, and the rest will be the wildlands.
But I mean, what's now, the point? Why are they doing this? What are they
this
thinking?
This is because we remember inventory and control. This is so that you can be controlled and surveilled and will lose your mobility and your independence.
So that's what it's all about. They're going to squeeze every dime and every bit of productivity that they can out of everybody, and there will be no slacking or getting away from it.
Well, it's about just basically making it so that you, if you don't go along to get along, you don't get food, light, water, you know, or a place to live. And this part, okay, so look, part of the real heart of this plan is to collapse our economy totally. And this has been very successful, hasn't it? This is what
Extremely.
We're looking at. We're looking at a collapse of our economy. This is part of Agenda 21, okay? Because what you're seeing here is that people are actually being pushed to a point. Now, we people, those of us who own property, a lot of us are considering, losing that property. Either there are people who are considering just taking a walk because it's not worth it anymore, or people who really can't make their payments anymore. The point is to move people off of their private property, move that private property into so-called public ownership, but we're talking about quasi-public ownership, land trusts that are funded through the federal government or foundations and corporations, but are actually controlled by land trusts. This is non-governmental organizations. What we're looking at is government by unelected boards and commissions and no representation from corporations and from non-governmental organizations. And that's what this last Rio de Janeiro, Rio Plus 20, the 20th anniversary of the 1992 Rio Declaration, It just happened again in Rio de Janeiro. They just had it, and they said, oh, no, it was such a failure. Oh, it didn't go well. That's a lie. Really, they got what they wanted, and that was empowering major groups. This is part of Agenda 21. And what they did was they made coalitions between, I think they figure they've got contracts and agreements for about $500 billion right now, between non-governmental groups, which is groups, obviously, that are not, they're like nonprofits, and there's zillions of them, right? There's millions of them. And these groups get grown through government grants and through foundations and through corporations. So what you have is pressure groups that are environmental groups, that are civil society groups, that are actually pressuring your government and moving your government into a position where it is actually taking representative government away from you and moving it into this regional, these regional boards and commissions. And that moves you towards regional governance, and then you are moved into well, you're looking at redesigning government, reinventing government, EU, and basically a loss of sovereignty. That's what it's about, loss of sovereignty and global governance. And you're looking at it. This is where it's going.
So the UN is actually already calling the shots and has been for a while.
Well, you know, the thing is, I mean, I don't want, okay, yes, but the point is the UN is a tool, is a mechanism to make, you know, all of this go. This is a corporatocracy, a totalitarian state that's being erected here. They, you know, this is like, I mean, take a look at China, right? You have a communist system that has adapted capitalism to it. And so basically they allow a few people to make money, you know, and then basically they're able to run their country like a huge sweatshop. And, you know, who wouldn't want to do that, right? I mean, didn't, who was it who said, was it Rumsfeld who said the Chinese had it easy? They don't have to ask their people if they like things. You know, so this is a big problem, having to actually, you know, have, you know, representative government, constitutional republic, where we are supposed to, you know, the government's supposed to work for us. Well, we're losing that. And I really want people to know, though, that the resistance is alive and very active all over the world. And you are part of it because you're hearing this, and you are part of it. And there are many, many things you can do. We have flyers on our website that, now this doesn't sound that cool, but I'm telling you, it works. You want to get this information to people. This is what we need, critical mass and information. We have great flyers for you. You can print them out for $5. You can make 100 flyers. You get up in the morning, you walk them around, putting them on doorsteps, and get people to know what's going on because they're not getting it from the mainstream press. And then we have other many things for you to do, you know, making videos involving young people, taking your power by removing yourself from volunteering for organizations that are part of this plan. A lot of us do volunteering and don't realize that we're actually working with non-governmental organizations, like, for instance, the Lung Association, which has an advocacy wing for smart growth. They are a partner.
Really?
Even yes. Them? Now, you need to do your homework here. And you know what? If you're looking for somebody to do this for you, forget it, because this is all hands on deck, so we're all working together here. So there's no silver bullet, you know, that's the thing. So you have to educate yourself and others. You want to identify and expose collaborators, and you want to publicize their connections. You want to, if you're paying dues or volunteering for a charitable organization and you haven't researched who's on the board and what their plans are, and also all the aspects of that group, then you're not doing your homework. So you also want to demand that planning consultants get fired, because we're paying millions of dollars all across the United States for the exact same plan. Guess what? That Vision 2035 plan in your town, or Horizon 2025, or
right.
Oh, whatever that thing is called, you know, come on down, right? This is part of Delphi. This is how they get you, right? This is a mind control technique developed by the RAND Corporation post-World War II, and it's used to bring groups of people to a predetermined outcome while giving them the impression that it was all their idea. So when you go to those meetings where you're invited to come on down and give your opinion of this great new plan for the center of town, in fact, that's a Delphi meeting. And you go there, you're nice, you know, you're good, being good, you're a little civic citizen, right? You go down there and you think you've got your crayon and your gold star and you're coloring on the town map saying what you want to see. Oh, I want to see smart growth. It's always the same. Every single plan is exactly the same. And they are rolling them out. They are hoping to have them all rolled out by 2013. You've got to get on board and fight this. These are your comprehensive plans. They are your visioning plans. And it's right there in your town, so it needs to be rejected. And one thing that I'm seeing across the nation is that people are becoming aware enough to recognize Agenda 21 when they see it. So I want to just, you know, if I can, just tell you about a couple of successes.
Please do.
Okay, and it's good to hear. All right, so let's see what we have here. Just the other day, we had a rejection of a regional plan. Okay, now in Gaston County, North Carolina, their county commissioners refused to be part of one of these huge regional plans. It's called Connect Our Future, 14 counties, right? And they were getting a $5 million HUD grant to implement this regional planning project. And this county recognized that it was Agenda 21 through the great work of the people there, and they refused to participate in it. This is what you need: votes from your council, votes from your commission, and you do that by getting yourself down there and letting them know what's going on. Another one is Rochester, New Hampshire. They refused to participate in Granite State Future. I was just there. I spoke, and I think the people there really understand what's going on, and so they refused a $3.37 million HUD grant, a part of that, that was for 9 regional planning commissions. See, this is a plan, it's the same plan, remember, all across the nation. It's all about knitting together groups of communities, sometimes breaking state boundaries, in fact. Because here's one called Imagine 2040. It's part of Tennessee and also part of northern Mississippi. So it breaks jurisdictional boundaries. So anyway, the one in Rochester, New Hampshire, they got out. They refused the money. Contra Costa, California, they got out of their Council of Government. That's the group that actually distributes money. Because why? Because they didn't want to be part of this One Bay Area plan, which is a regional plan here in the 9-county Bay Area. Smart growth, and they require priority development areas. So that means there's huge growth projections that actually tell these cities where and what has to be built over the next 25 years. And if you don't own property in that strip of area that's supposed to get built, you can't build anything. You think this is having an impact on our economy? You know,
just a little.
I got to tell you one other one. This is Baldwin County, Alabama. And, you know, Alabama passed Senate Bill 477. It was signed into law by the governor, and it's a repudiation of Agenda 21, the first one in the nation, and the first one to pass. And this is actually law. It says no infringement on private property rights, and Alabama cannot give or receive funds from ICLEI or associated non-governmental organizations. That's pretty cool. And then what happened was Alabama County, Baldwin County, their county commissioners just rejected a comprehensive plan called Horizon 2025. They said it violated private property rights. And this is true, and this is what it looks like. That's Agenda 21 right there. So people need to recognize it, call it out, and if you don't go down there and support your elected officials when they're rejecting millions of federal dollars, that isn't going to fly. You've got to go there, you've got to support them, and you have to educate your town and your county so that people understand why they're refusing to take that money.
So this is really good stuff. I mean, you can start, I just stepped on her, she said we have power, and we do. So you go to the city website, you look for the programs, you look for the notations of the meetings, and you show up. You make time to do this. We will continue. Wow, what a quick hour and a half. We'll continue with Rosa Corey, Behind the Green Mask, and Democrats Against UNAgenda21.com. Visit the site. It's good. And she is a first-time guest on Coast, and we like it like that. We'll be back. This is Coast. We'll be back with Rosa Corey, author of Behind the Green Mask. But I just wanted to pass this on to you. In summer of 1968, a 16-episode series called The Prisoner was put out by an American-born actor named Patrick McGoohan, and it dealt with an unnamed British agent who abruptly resigned his job. Apparently, he's going to go on holiday, but while he's packing his luggage, he gets knocked out by a chemical agent. He winds up in this mysterious seaside village that's isolated from the mainland by mountains and the ocean. It is secured by numerous monitoring systems and security forces, including this mysterious balloon-like device called Rover that recaptures those who attempt escape. He doesn't trust anyone in this village. He refuses to cooperate or provide answers, and alone he struggles with multiple goals, determining for which side the village works, remaining defiant to its imposed authority, concocting his own plans for escape, learning all he can about the village, and subverting its operation. Some of his schemes, while not resulting in an escape, do lead to the dismissal of an incumbent number two on two occasions, and by the end of the series, the administration, becoming desperate for number six's knowledge and fearful of his growing influence in the village, takes drastic measures that threaten the lives of number six, number two, and the rest of the village. When this series came out, it caused an absolute uproar. It was considered outrageous, and it almost cost McGoohan his career. It is iconic now, and what a visionary he was as Agenda 21 moves forward and planet Earth becomes the global village. Not while the mothership has thrust in her engines. We'll be back with Rosa Corey in just a moment. This is the one and only Coast. So Coast, stay in. Rosa Corey, when we do show up at these meetings, I mean, they'll be gentle. Should we be strident? I mean, or can we do, that thing you were talking about earlier? It's really helpful if people believe it's their idea to comply with something. So, I mean, do we do that Obi-Wan thing where it's somehow we get them to say, we don't really want to impose any Agenda 21 on our community. We're withdrawing the offer of the money. Forget it. We're canceling the meeting. I mean, how do we deal with this when we meet the opposition, which we undoubtedly will?
Wow. Well, I do have in the back of my book, I tell you how to anti-Delphi a meeting, how to refuse to be Delphi'd. And by the way, it's a fairly short book. It's like 170 pages long, and it's a quick read, and it's got all this great info in it and well put together, so you can really get clear on what this is and how to fight it. So you can anti-Delphi a meeting, and we have actually some videos showing you how we did some extreme anti-Delphi. Basically, we did civil disobedience in our business suits and took a meeting down, a big meeting down, and it's quite an experience to watch that. And that's on our website. And I want to say, let me just interject here. The reason the website is called Democrats Against UN Agenda 21, obviously it's not, this is not a left-right Democrat-Republican thing. At the top, all parties want to keep, there are no parties at the top. It's all about power and control. But the reason we called it Democrats is because we are Democrats, and primarily we wanted to make sure that we were able to open a dialogue with other people who are on the left. But obviously, I go out and speak all across the United States. I speak to Tea Party groups, to 9/12 groups, to libertarians, to property rights groups, universities. I'm on my way up to Washington to speak to Western Washington University on Tuesday. And, all over the country, people are beginning to engage or are engaging, and people are refusing to go along with these plans. So you're going to see that, and you can learn how to anti-Delphi a meeting. It's not hard. It's just that you have to do it right, and then you want to make sure that your elected officials are educated. So, and you let them know that either they get on board with you or you're going to take them out. And one thing that we've been doing is we're encouraging people across the country to go after people who are sitting on the regional boards, because the regional boards are made up of elected officials from the entire, whoever, you know, it might be, there might be 189 cities sitting on that regional board, believe it or not, like there are in Los Angeles County. And so, you know, you think your town is going to have any influence on what happens there? So, but what you want to let your town know is if you continue to participate in that group, we will take you out. And so you choose someone who's weak and you go after them and you remove them from that board. You want to take your power and show that you have power. Show yourself as well. We need to recognize our power. So, I wanted to talk about something else too, you know, but you brought up The Prisoner, which I really loved, that show. And I wanted to say that public-private partnerships, this is where you have a partial privatization of something that should be government-run. And prisons are one of the biggest, fastest-growing public-private partnerships in the United States. And we have one out of every 130 Americans is in prison, and one out of every 32 Americans, 7 million, are under correctional supervision. So this is real big business, right? And prisons need prisoners. So how do you get more prisoners? You make more things crime. And when you're looking at ALEC, for instance, you know, which is, basically, it's the American Legislative Exchange Council. It's made up of 2,000 state legislators and about 250 corporations and foundations. That in itself is an awful thought. They are the ones that pushed that. They lobbied for the three strikes law. You know why? Because, hey, you want people to commit three felonies, and, you know, they stole an apple the last time, but now they're in jail for the rest of their lives, and that's a lot of money. So there's big money in this plan, too. There's a lot of money in the plan for, you know, a few people. This is about taking money away from the middle class, impoverishing the middle class, and bringing the United States down. And it's going to take a lot to take us all the way down to the level that they want to see us at.
Rosa, let me ask you something. Could we just play devil's advocate just for a second? I mean, what would be a Saturday night conversation without bringing up the devil? So we'll be his advocate for a second. You know how you'll see a couple of dogs messing up, being rambunctious. There's a cat in the room, and it gets up on a chair, and it just looks down at him like, you're just disgusting idiots. Is it possible that this elite look down upon the general population as just disgusting idiots who have lived way too large for way too long? And now here comes the punishment part. You'll be stuffed into these concentrated cities, and the earth will be allowed to come back to its former glory. And since you are, as we mentioned, disgusting idiots, we will control it. Is that what has happened? And is there any justification for it? I'm playing devil's advocate here, because we abdicated our responsibilities. We threw too much trash in the landfills. We really did start screwing up the planet to the point where the whole thing really might be threatened. Do these people believe this? I mean, just because I ask that question doesn't mean I think that way. I'm just tossing stuff. Right. Somewhere somebody thinks that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that it's really difficult to say what they believe. It's hard to judge people by yourself when you know that you're a good person, and it's hard to think about how someone could be so evil that they could conceive of a plan like this and then implement it. But I think what's really important for all of us to know is that, obviously it's not like it was when we were kids and people were throwing pop bottles out their car windows and stuff like that. The world, I'm not saying that there aren't improvements that can be made. I'm not saying that, you know, that obviously recycling, things where you're concerned about reuse are important. My partner, in fact, is a general contractor, and she built an entire two-story house out of recycled materials, and, you know, we're into that. But this is not what that's about. What this is about is control and inventory and control. This is about taking control of the planet. And, for instance, when people are, you know, if I say to you, you're gonna have to move out of your house and live in a one-car garage, that's about 220 square feet. Okay. Yep. And you're like, no way I'm going to do that. I'm going to go, well, would you do it for the planet? Would you do it to save the planet? And people say yes. I just, this is where this is going. People have been manipulated to the point where they, without knowing anything, without having any good, solid evidence, they will bankrupt themselves and they will destroy the quality of their freedom in order to save the planet. And what we're talking about, I mean, they're talking America2050.org. You should go check that out. That's where the mega regions are. And that's a project of the Urban Land Institute and the Lincoln Institute for Land. And I think it's the Environmental Protection Agency. Anyway, go take a look at that, because what we're talking about is actually the wildland. We're talking about getting people off of the land. We're saying, like, the United Nations in 1976, and I know people have heard this, you got to hear it again, though, land cannot be treated as an ordinary asset controlled by individuals and subject to the pressures and inefficiencies of the market. Oh, no, no. Private land ownership is a principal instrument of accumulation and concentration of wealth, and therefore it contributes to social injustice. Public control of land use is therefore indispensable. Public control of land use. Now, this is what's happening all across the United States. If you fly over the U.S., this is a one big country with a whole lot of land, and we are an agricultural nation. This is something people don't realize, because a lot of people live in cities. But we are being moved out of our agricultural properties and into the cities. And this is about creating artificial scarcity, because unless you do that, you can't justify the kind of conservation measures, the austerity measures that are going to be imposed on us.
How far away do you see this? In other words, is the resistance to it, if the resistance to it continues to ratchet up at the rate that it is now, and their initiative is, I suppose it's going to ratchet up too, at which point do we figure out we can either defeat their initiative or we can't defeat it? And how far out do you think that point may be, where it's make or break? It's either going to overtake us or it'll be pushed back. I mean, a year or two,
well,
5 years?
Well, I don't
years.
Know about you, John, but I'm going to die trying. I'm not going to give up.
Yeah, and but I mean, do you see any kind of a timetable on this? I'm sorry.
I think what they're looking at is, 2025 is the number that you see quite a bit, date, and 2050. Obviously, a lot of us are 50 years old or older, and they're probably waiting, figuring that a lot of people who know what it is to have freedom and know what it is to be an individual and expect to have your individual rights protected by your government, those of us who are standing strong on that will be dead. Through natural causes, hopefully. But the thing is, we don't want to wait, right? This is the time now. And I sure hope there's a lot of people listening, because we really need to reach a lot of people. And if you are listening, you need to participate in this. I don't care who's dancing with my wife or whatever you're watching. This is a very important moment in our history. And we don't want to be that nation that didn't even last, 200 years. I mean, this is the thing. We need to pull it together now. And yeah, I'm a liberal Democrat. Isn't that interesting? But I value my freedom, and all of us do. And this is something we need to do together. Put aside those minor issues and stop, and don't allow the people who are running this to put you at each other's heads. In other words, if you don't agree with me on whatever my interests are, or my social issues or whatever, so what? This is something that's very important. What we're talking about, we're talking about something where it happens to people one property at a time, one city at a time, one business at a time. We're alone. We don't recognize that this is happening to everyone all across the country, and you need to stand strong. Because when they start imposing, like, for instance, charging you carbon credit, for your carbon offsets, And what we're looking at now is the imposition of this plan, and it's a little rocky right now. And this is the time to fight it, because when it is fully in place, when you find that you are so financially strapped that you'll go and move into that smart growth, and that, yes, you'll report on someone because you need that extra money or whatever it is, people people lose their humanity. And we see what, you know, the Germans weren't any different from us particularly. There were some issues with their culture, but this is a possibility for any human being. We don't want to allow ourselves to descend to that point where we would report on each other, where we would, and, you know, we're looking at things like healthy eating, active living, where obesity is being considered an epidemic right now. So right. This is also part of Agenda 21, right? Because they say what you have to do is change your land use in your cities, move people into smart growth, out of the suburbs. Oh, sprawl, it's so bad.
Oh, yeah, eat GMOs and die early, please.
Yes, so here it is. This is, yeah, exactly. And Terminator seeds and control of your food and water and charging you the full cost of water because it has to be governed as a common good. You're going to see that. This is what it looks like. So I don't know how long it's going to take to really fully implement this, but I do know that if we fight it, we have a chance, and we need to get together and do it. And it, you know, this is how you do it. There's plenty of great information here, lots of great stuff to do, and it's working. So we need to do it everywhere. We can't wait for someone. There's no silver bullet, and there's nobody on a white horse. This is it. You have your chance now to be, you know, to be that person in the resistance. I don't think there's anyone listening who thinks that they would have been that they would have gotten up in the morning and put on a Nazi uniform. This is our chance to be the resistance, and we need to do it.
And let us remember that every German was not a Nazi, but they all were punished in those bombings. People who were not Nazis and did not support the Nazis were killed along with the Nazis when the whole nation had to be corrected by an external pressure. Here's an obtuse question for you. It's been a quick couple of hours and a real delight talking with you tonight. I'm not kidding you. But let me ask you this. Where does, you know, we've got a lot of people from Mexico in here. And, you know, there are initiatives flying around to give them a pathway to citizenship and all of that. Will this ramp up slowly enough to what is the future of immigration? Are they going to, is everybody kind of going to go back to their, will all the Mexicans go back to Mexico and be contained there? Or does everybody pretty much just stop where you are and go to your concentration city?
Well,
you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Yes, sure I do. And this is part of Agenda 21, is to destroy our boundaries, to destroy our borders, because when you don't control those borders, then you have people who are, you know, what we're getting, the immigrants that we're getting are poor people who are uneducated. This is our primary immigrants coming from Mexico. They're coming, they're right off the rancho. They probably have a fifth grade education, and they're coming to this country, and they don't have the same educational level, and they also do not have the same expectation of government. And so, I am in favor of a closed border, but I also think we need immigration reform. You shouldn't have to wait 11 years to find out if you can come to this country. And this was created purposely. This is created purposely. It's helping to destroy our educational system, and the situation has been overly saturated, and this is part of Agenda 21. It's a cultural, and economic and social drain on the country.
Gotcha.
And this is part of it.
Rosa Corey, you've been an absolute delight, as I've said a couple of times, because I really mean it. I'll be watching you, lady, and I hope you'll come back and talk to us again sometime. Keep the awareness hot.
All right. Love to do it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, Eddie Temple said, the art of good business is being a good middleman. At Coast to Coast AM, we like to be the middleman between you and information, and with a little luck, some real intelligence when possible. Tonight has been more than information. This is real intel. Agenda 21 is real. You have the intel. Now make use of it. For it is the doom of freedom if we do not. Until next Saturday night and beyond, be well. mothership out.